Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. Today, we have a lovely guest. Jana Stern is joining us today, and she is a psychic, astrologer, and spiritual activator with over 15 years of expertise and a lifelong connection to her psychic lineage. She is the founder of the Resilience Revolution and host of I'm Really Into That Stuff podcast. She empowers clients through her tailored spiritual practices as well. Jana blends metaphysical knowledge with practical tools for transformation as a certified life activation practitioner. Her mission is to integrate spirituality with mental health to create a profound societal change. She's the author of Activate Your Chakras, which provides detailed advice on selecting and using specific crystals for different emotional and spiritual needs. Welcome to the show, Jana.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
I'm really glad to have you here. And I'm very curious about growing up with psychics. So your grandmother and great-grandmother were both psychics?
So they were both, I'll kind of preface it by saying, I know that my grandmother will not call herself that. But that lady's intuition is on point. She is an astrologer for sure. She's been tracking the stars all my life. My father, my biological father, also could do the same thing. He could look up and say, oh, there's that one, there's this one, there's this one. And there was always a knowingness. The mental health stuff in my life is also in that lineage. And it's my belief that the two go very hand in hand. What we used to call prophets, we now call psychosis.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a lot of that lineage. And growing up, it was very clear to me that there had always been a knowingness, particularly in the women on that side. There was always like a sixth sense. My grandmother would, you know, she would call me and I would say, oh, I was just thinking of you, or vice versa. Or, you know, when I was going through a very difficult time in my life, she would just kind of arrive with things, or she would send me articles of things or whatever it was. And there was always just this really, really powerful knowing, and this powerful understanding of the world and the planets and what was happening when. And she was like that kooky woman who would talk about, you know, how strange, like these strange things, oh, the moon is doing this. And people were like, okay. And she was always like, I'm a Virgo. And people were like, I don't know what that means. And now in 2024, she's like trendy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she really paved the way for me to be weird.
So it wasn't odd for you then, because I imagine you had friends come over and maybe, you know, they thought it was odd.
So she lived in Florida and I live here in Toronto. Okay. So there wasn't so much overlap. And the complexities of that dynamic in my family are many, because my parents split when I was very young and there was a lot of divorce goodness around all of it. But yeah, it was definitely, for me, I always thought, oh, this is normal. It's normal that, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I really want this thing. And then all of a sudden it's there and she's thought about it. And I'm like, did I say it out loud? Like, it was just, so it became quite normal for me. And I think, yeah, there was a lot of there were a lot of layers to all of it growing up, because, like I said, mental health has been very, very present in my life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it really helped to frame my perspective on what I think mental health is really about, and how mm-hmm. much we really need to tap into those intuitive nudges and that psychic ability in order to stay mentally well, because I think what can come up when you are very connected to the other side in whatever capacity is, you start to think, am I crazy?
Yeah.
And put it away. And then you start to behave crazy.
You know, one thing that you said is, and I hope I'm framing this correctly, you said the relationship between like profits and psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah, once upon a time, people who heard voices, they heard the word of God.
Yeah.
They would channel these important messages, and people, and it would come out sounding like exactly the way that it does when I'm channeling, or like it does when a person is going totally out of their mind. And because we no longer give accolade or respect to what comes through, because we're so matrixed, we're stuck in a third dimensional box, and the things that happen in the mind do not fit in a box. You can't figure out what your mind, the shape of your mind is. You know, your brain is in there, but the shape of your mind is a different dimension. And when we pull in from other places, yeah, once upon a time, we would call them prophets. And now, unfortunately, most of those prophets are homeless on the street. They're drug addicted. They have all these terrible coping mechanisms because we don't allow for that anymore. We don't allow that there is the possibility that one could hear something from source. And it's, you know, we've sort of like given that to somebody else. No, 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 that's for then. That's for biblical times. That's for these kinds of people, these leaders, these whatever. But really, like, my belief is that we all have the voice of God in our head. We also have that other voice that's really not as great.
Yeah.
And it gets convoluted. And I think that when societally we shut that godly part of ourselves down, you go crazy. And so you start to hear things like, you know, the world is going to end. And I mean, didn't it in 2020? Okay. We're in a new reality now. And all those people who were saying all those things on the street, maybe they could have guided us to be able to navigate it better, right? Maybe there is information coming through some people still that have a lot to share, but because we've cast them into the box of psychotic, we don't take their word anymore. We don't value what they're saying. We just dismiss it. Oh, no, 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 that's the word of a crazy person. I assure you that every single prophet in the Bible would have been seen as crazy today, 100%.
Yes, fully agree on that. And I think something that you kind of alluded to was the fact that we do get these intuitive messages, and maybe they come in different ways, but I think our society has changed so much that logic and reason are, you know, dominant ways of understanding, of learning, and of knowing, that we've kind of just tried to hush that voice as illogical. And yes, classifying it as crazy. You know, you don't know what you're talking about, you're making that up, but for that person, it's very real.
Mm-hmm. Or how could you know that? Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot. We have deep, deep, deep inner knowing, particularly about the people that we love, but even about people that we don't even know, we can tap into them real fast and go deep when we let ourselves. What I do as a psychic is not special. I am very special, but what I do is not. And so it's something that I believe all of us can learn and hone over time, but we have to first validate that the crazy thoughts are not crazy. They're guiding us to something that we need to know. That person maybe needs that information that's coming through for you. You need to be like that little, oh, I got to call that friend that I haven't heard from in a little while. As soon as you pick up the phone, they're like, oh, I was just thinking of you. Or like, oh, I've been having a really bad day. I'm so glad you called, right? It's always that way, always. And so the less that we devalue it, the more that we actually start to strengthen that muscle, and we start to trust our own intuition, not whatever that voice is that says, you're crazy.
Definitely. So this is a very difficult question I'm going to ask, and it's okay if you don't have the answer to it, because I don't think I have the answer to it either. But how do we even begin, do you think, to discern the difference between what we would kind of classify as like a legitimate I hate to use the word crazy, but unhelpful thought, I'll put it that way, versus an intuitive message for us that we should maybe take action upon.
Yeah. An intuitive message often feels like a, huh, where did that come from? A crazy thought comes from a trauma. It comes from a past issue or even a past life issue. A crazy thought comes along with other thoughts that feel really invasive. You know, can I use an example of what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So an intuitive thought is like, oh, I should turn left here. Even though you're like, usually I always turn right, but I should turn left and just go in a box because I feel like I should. And then you end up avoiding the traffic. That's like following the intuition, right? You're like, I don't know why I always turn right, but I guess I'm turning left. And you just listen and then boom, you avoid an hour of traffic, right?
Right.
A crazy thought usually is something, and like the word even itself is a bit unjust. But it usually is like that person did something and now I want to blank to them, right? Or I feel so whatever, so like yucky about whatever this interaction was that I want to get even. Like, that's crazy. What do you mean? You don't get even. Just go within and transcend it. It's easier said than done.
Right.
But yeah, those thoughts. And like when it comes to psychosis, it gets sticky. It gets very, very convoluted. It's hard to differentiate the two, but I would say if it feels like it's coming from an unknown, unbiased source, that's your intuition. If it feels like you can track it back to that time that your dad was really mean to you and like, you know, it feels like that same feeling, you're probably going a little crazy.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing that you touched upon, which is the most important thing, is to, you know, trust that nudge, trust that inner voice, even though it is foreign to us because we're not taught, most of us aren't taught from childhood, you know, to trust that inner guide or that thought that just kind of pops in out of nowhere. We usually, again, have to apply logic. Apply, you know, reason to doing something like this doesn't make sense. Therefore, I'm not going to act upon it. Right. And sometimes that intuitive voice, it's like, why would I do that? You know, why would I go left in this situation? It doesn't make sense to me. I'm used to doing that. But like you said, you know, beginning to trust that inner voice will eventually, it'll make that voice that's usually like not as loud at the beginning, but it'll start to become a little bit louder over time as you begin to trust it more and act on it.
And so too for the opposite, because not only are we not taught, we're actually taught the opposite. We're taught, be quiet, sit in your chair, don't say anything that goes against the grain, get these kinds of jobs, do these kinds of things, have these kinds of friends, show up in this way. Yes. Like, everything is so systematic in our lives. It's also programmable. And so if you're over there, I always say, I'm the girl while everybody was following on the path. I was off in the field dancing with the fairies. I don't know what I was doing, but I did not follow it. My friends got married. They got, you know, graduate degrees. They had babies. And I was like, I like crystals. Like, it was just a different vibe for me. But it landed in a place where I trust my intuition innately. And when something comes up that's like feeling a little crazy, I'm like, no, actually, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you had a fascination with crystals. I want to talk about this because I'm sure you're aware that, and you know, I specifically cannot pinpoint when, I hate to say crystals became so quote unquote popular, right? Because they are, so much so that it's almost become mainstream, right? So what attracted you at a young age to crystals?
So actually, my father's father had a massive collection, and they're kind of strewn throughout the house. If you poke, but you're behind me, there's a couple of them there, and they're all over the house now because I inherited them when he passed. And he had a huge collection, and I would, as a very, very little kid, go and visit them and sit and listen to the crystals. And they would sing songs to me and tell me stories. And then as I got older, I was like, I don't hear voices at all. Thanks. And then, of course, after my own mental health stuff came up, I was like, I don't think I can deny that I can hear these voices. And I started to go deeper in with my crystals and spend more time with them. I was always around them, always, as a kid. And I was always the kid who was picking stones up and twigs and this and that, even though I didn't love dirt as a kid, but as an adult, I do. And so my mental health stuff really came about when I was in my early 20s. And I assure you that at that time, liking crystals was not cool. I was definitely on the outskirts at that time. I would even say as many as like 7 or 8 years ago, they were less trendy than they are now. Now they're part of the capitalist machine. Yes. So definitely trendy. But yeah, it's been a lifetime of playing with them, collecting them, working with them. I work with them a lot in my healings that I do with my clients. And, you know, I'm always the girl who's got a little baggie to give away to whomever I encounter on the street, children, you know, people in some kind of beautiful conversation we have. And I'm like, here, choose a crystal, take one home with you. So yeah, that's kind of always been my vibe. And it's one of my favorite things about me, which is a little egoic, but I do love it about me.
So how did you build, I know this is an odd question, but how did you kind of like build your connection, or I'm just going to use the word relationship, to crystals in general? What was that experience like?
Yeah, a lot of it is about what I will refer to as listening. However, we all have different clairsenses, right? So my most dominant clairsense is clairaudience. I hear. And so I listen, but for some people, it might literally be like putting the stones, like smelling them or licking them or being close to them in some way, some physical way, or, you know, just visually looking at them a lot, depending on what your own clair senses are. But for me, it was like, I'd wake up in the morning and I had, you know, they're all over the house, but I would go over and listen. Who do I need to have with me today? What's going to help me on the journey for today's mission? And that would be from everything from like the jewelry that I'm buying to, and like the stones that I'm wearing, to the things that are going in my pocket, to, you know, whatever. And I would just sort of be with the ones that were here in the house. And then when I inherited my grandfather's collection, things got very noisy. And so a lot of it was about setting grids with a lot of intention. So moving the crystals around a lot, you know, when it's a full moon, especially really, really being like, okay, I got to get into the zone. It's time to move everything around. And my boyfriend knows, like, when a big full moon hits, you got to go, 'cause I got to move stuff. you know, and so really just taking care of them takes care of me. The worst thing you can do with crystals is keep them in a bowl or in a box, where they get no oxygen, no energy, no whatever. They need charging. They need care, especially if you wear them, especially if you are wearing a crystal, please, please get it into water if it's safe. And if not, then put it in the moonlight and or the sunlight and like give it a minute, because it's doing a lot of work for you. I always hear people's necklaces. I'm like, have you taken that off? But yeah, it's just a muscle, right? It's just a muscle. So if your muscle, if your strength already is in listening, which it was for me, listen more, interact with them more, touch with them more, you know, bring them into whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. Oh, I'm going to go to this event, and should, you know, what kind of protection do I need? I'm going to be with these people. How do I help open my heart? You know, if I'm going to be around my family, how do I cut my tongue and not say the wrong thing, right? All those kinds of things. So there's a crystal for everything. And so, yeah, it's just about, you know, checking in and not judging necessarily by the book, but what your intuition tells you you need, you know?
Yeah. So what do they sound like? I do have to ask this question. I know you're clairaudience. So if you were dialoguing, with any crystals or stones, what messages would you typically get from a stone? What does it really sound like for you?
It's sort of like, it's like bells ringing, but teeny tiny little bells ringing. But instead of the bell being a bell, it's a clear message. It's a clear, it's not words in the way that you and I say words. So like language, we know for those who speak more than one, you're just taking the things in your brain and trying to communicate them out in words that make sense to the person you're communicating to. The way that spirit communicates, I can receive messages from somebody on the other side in another language, but it's going to come through in English because that's the language I speak, right? Mm-hmm. So the language of crystals, I don't know what its language is called, but it sounds to me, I guess, like little bells. And most of the messages are, they're redirects. They're like, not this way, this way. Don't, you need this for that. Do good, good, right? Like just helping me to kind of keep the steering wheel. I mean, now we have auto steering, but once upon a time when I learned how to drive, you had to hold the steering wheel at 10 and 2 so that you didn't spin off. And crystals keep the automatic going, in my opinion, when you're driving. Does that help?
Yes, no, that completely, I think that's a really great way, because I swear when years ago, I cannot remember, I was watching some video and they hooked up, I guess, some sort of electrical wires to crystals to see what sounds they would make. And they were, you know, very interesting sounds dependent upon the crystal. It was like beautiful types of music. So I was kind of curious, like what, you know, it would, what it's like in a personal sense when you're holding a crystal or when you're meditating a crystal, if you have, you know, like you said, an intuitive nudge, a conversation, but I like the way that you put it, a redirect of sorts.
Yeah. And like my guides and I are very funny. So I get a lot of messages that are like, no, like they're very direct. They're very like, you don't want that. Don't go in that. No, that's not it, girl. Don't do that. Like a lot of that. There's a lot of that for me, but I know it's different for everybody. But yeah, you know, I've seen those machines hooked up to like plants and mushrooms and trees.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like, I know where you're going with it. Actually, there's this cool thing called mushroom church where they literally plug these things in and they play music on mushrooms, like not tripping out on mushrooms. I mean, on physical mushrooms. Yeah. It's very, 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 very cool. So you just kind of reminded me about that, but yeah, that's kind of how it works.
So how do you charge your crystals?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways. Now I'm going to say like DYOR, do your own research on this, because not every crystal can handle everything, okay? Some of them don't like the sun. Some of them don't like water. But I'll kind of go through the ones that work. So moonlight, for sure. Full moon is best. Not all of them like it. Sunlight, for sure. Midday sun is best. Not all of them like it. Water, not all of them like it. Salt, not all of them like it. Salt water, not all of them like it. I'm like really trying to do my disclaimer here. You can burn incense or any other kind of like smudging materials. So Palo Santo, sage, if that's part of your practice, make sure that you're buying sage from indigenous folks though. It's endangered. Yeah. It's not your practice if it's not. Also, putting them in the earth is a really wonderful thing. You can literally plant them in with your plants at home or put them in the garden for an hour or a day or a month or 5 years, if that feels resonant for you. It's always good to give crystals back to the earth no matter what. People always ask me, what happens if you break one? And I'm like, you have two. So you take one half, keep it for yourself, and the other, give it back to the earth. That's what I always say. Did I miss anything? Water, salt water. I think I got them all. Moonlight, sunlight. I think I got them all. Yeah.
Do you, given that you've been working with them for such a long time, do you dream about crystals? And do you dream about them for yourself, or do you dream about them also for clients?
Definitely, when a client signs up for a crystal healing, immediately I can hear every single stone that needs to come with me. As soon as the exchange of energy is there, as soon as money is in the bank for me, I'm like, okay, blah, 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 and there they come. Do I dream about crystals? I think so. You know, a lot of my dreams are, I tend to have night terrors and nightmares. So less so about crystals, but I do, they come into my consciousness a lot. And I'm the person that, even though I have this massive, massive collection, I still find them on the street all the time. I can hear them. I'll be walking on the street and then I'll look down and I'll be like, whoa, there's another one. And my boyfriend's like, going on? How do they find you? I was like, well, it whispered.
That's so funny. Oh my God. I bet you have a massive collection in your house.
Huge.
So, yeah. Okay, let's talk about crystal healing and what that actually entails. Like, what is that experience like for someone? Why would somebody opt for crystal healing as opposed to, let's say, just a Reiki healing session?
So crystal, there's a couple different kinds of healings that I do with crystals. One is more active and one is more passive.
Okay.
In the passive session, you are literally lying there and I'm putting crystals on physical places on your body in alignment with the chakras, but also just like with what I can feel is happening in your body. And those crystals are being placed on you using like incantations and mantras. And as I'm placing them, the energy of the stone is like absorbing into your energy and you guys are having an exchange of energy so that something is either being sort of alleviated from your auric field or it's being brought into your auric field, depending on where you're at and what's required. In the more active session, which is called a life activation, I'm taking a crystal wand and I'm infusing light into your DNA. That one is, it's literally activating, hence the name life activation. Mm-hmm. And it's a really beautiful healing to connect in with the crystal kingdom that is below us and also with the self that is above. And so it's like the melding of those two things into your physical body. So you're no longer betraying yourself at the end of a life activation. The kicker of all these things is I need your physical body for both of them. So right. It's not me, there are other practitioners. But yeah, you know, when the answer to your question about what is the difference between regular sort of like mm-hmm. Reiki energy versus a crystal healing, I often say Reiki is a projection of your energy, the practitioner's energy into yours as in mine. So it would be right into your mm-hmm. energy field to be like, what's going on in there and what can I move? The sessions that I do, I'm just the channel. I'm just the light. I'm just showing up and I'm not affecting anything about you. I'm not doing anything. Your energy is doing it, but I'm the conduit of the light. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense. And so for when you have clients who obviously are new to crystal healing, like what has the, I guess I would say, what's the, you know, the post experience? So, because I know a lot of people are very skeptical because I think there's a lot of misconceptions about crystals. For example, I think sometimes people think that practitioners believe the crystals will just do all the work magically and then you're healed like in one session, which, you know, I think it's a really big misconception. And a lot of people, a lot of practitioners don't hold that belief. But when you've had people who've never, you know, had these types of sessions before, what would you say, you know, their reaction was after the session?
Colossal. I had a life activation about 15 years ago that changed my life. I was a different person on the other side. A year after my life activation, the integration process was huge. And I realized that I was doing things and behaving in ways that I knew were not actually good or healthy for me. And the transformation was huge. So much so that I was like, I gotta learn this. I gotta go study this. I gotta be able to give it to other people. And every single solitary person who has ever gotten a life activation from me or from anybody else that I know, their life has changed. Not right away. It's not a one and done, you know, you wake up the next day and you're like, everything's great. And now I'm a millionaire and I love all the people and everyone I don't love is far away from me. And like, it's not that. But it definitely does evolve you on the path. And, you know, I love to work with people who don't know anything about this stuff, particularly because when I first started the journey of calling myself a healer and a psychic, it was not normal. And people didn't know what to do about it. And so I brought them on the journey. And I've sort of like mother ducked a lot of people who now have their own little ducklings, who have their own little ducklings all these years later on this journey. And I love it. I think it's imperative for all of us to receive as much healing as possible. I don't think that there is, I think that we live in a world that has been so structured backwards that there is only one kind of healing that's possible. And that healing, by the way, is also why we're sick. And it's backwards to me that all of the things that are ancient are being diminished as invaluable. I'm like, how do you think we survived as a species? And for people who are naysayers to crystals, your phone, your computer, your watches, all of those things are being fueled. We're literally creating and inventing time because of these things. So if you think they have no power, put your phone down and see how you feel.
Yes, exactly. I know a lot of people think, you know, they don't take, I would say, crystal therapy or crystals in general, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yes, they are powering your devices. Like we utilize them actually on a daily basis. So, you know, even the, you know, I'll just use the word leadership. I don't know, or society that tells you, oh, don't take, you know, those people seriously are the same ones who know that they need to use it and that it's effective technologically.
Yes. Yes. And that if you only use them in tech and not in the other ways that are extraordinarily empowering, that create a sovereignty from the need for them to be in control, where you take your power back. I mean, the system it's all structured, right? It's all put together on purpose. So if you wanted to be sovereign, you know, crystals is a good little gateway out of where you are. And connecting with the earth in that way is so, 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 so powerful. There's so much potency to it. There is a reason that nature is healing for us. We are of it, not outside of it. We can convince ourselves that we're not in cities, but we are from here. Yeah. And we are part of here. We're not just living on here. We're part of it. And so, yeah, you know, the system doesn't want us to be tapped into that, because then you're like, oh my God, is the solution to the problem that I'm having also, like, you know, the thing I love to say is, when you go near poison ivy, always, always near poison ivy, the antidote is nearby. Always, always. You will never find in nature that there is something that will kill you that's not an animal, that you cannot survive from. There is always a remedy, but we're taught fear poison ivy. Poison ivy is so bad. You need to go to the hospital immediately. The solution, the antidote, is as close in nature as the thing that you are being poisoned by, but we're not taught that.
Yeah, we're not taught. I think we're taught more to either not take something seriously. So like you said, we'll use the word the system. I think that's most effective. The system, you know, will either tell, like, they'll feel fear monger in a certain way, but also they take steps to delegitimize something that, you know, and they'll call it fringe. So don't take it seriously so that we don't seek or question, right? Because we don't want to be branded in that way, like an unserious person or, you know, something to that extent. So I think, yes, even crystal healing, crystal therapy, alternative therapies, again, even that word, you know, has a negative
right, alternative
connotation.
to what? To your
Yes.
solution that I didn't ask for? That's
It's a
making me
very
question. Thank you.
negative association. But what, I don't know if you've seen this, but what I've kind of seen, because I do work in healthcare tech, that more people, as people become, you know, more sick and more young people are getting cancer, unfortunately, they're seeking quote unquote alternative therapies to assist, you know, their ongoing treatment. So
Yes.
at least that's kind of what I've seen on my end.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, frequency healing is very, very
Yes.
real. Sound healing,
yes.
exceptionally real. You know, if you're somebody who struggles even with mental health, psychedelic therapy is exceptionally helpful. I mean, there are so many alternatives
Yeah.
to what the system has created for us. It's like bred into us is the only answer. And yeah, you do. You start to become sovereign, free, almost non-dependent on them. And I know a lot of people who live totally off-grid, you know, who don't rely on the system in the way that the system wants you to. And yeah, those people, by some others' standards, would be called crazy.
Yes.
But as we shared earlier, crazy is not so crazy. Once upon a time, crazy was considered close to God. And, you know, close to source, close to the universe, like in touch with the universe. And I think we really need to reformulate our whole thing. And as far as I'm concerned, if crystals are the gateway drug to that, like I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But also like make sure that they're mined ethically and, you know, that
yes.
all the, that your sources are safe. And yeah, if you don't know how to get ethically sourced crystals, hit me up in the DMs. I will happily help you.
Yes, and I agree with that. I think people really need to be cognizant of how certain things are being taken from the earth. Unfortunately, I feel like that conversation is rarely had in these types of circles. That there's a lot of unethical sourcing of resources. You know, whether it's certain crystals. Oh, I could go down that rabbit hole because that really bothers me how that happens, but. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I did want to ask you about life activation because you did mention that you do this with clients. What is that exactly?
Yeah, so it's actually a 3,000-year-old lineage. It's a healing that was created in the temple in Jerusalem by King Solomon. And so he would gather people from all over the world. As we do as Jews, we're just curious. We're like, who's learning what? What do you know? Teach us. We want to learn. We want to learn. And so King Solomon brought all these healers and people from all over the world, and they developed this healing. So what it is a balance of your chakras. So the how energy flows to and from your body, right? Then we balance out your etheric energy. That's how you pick up on universe, God, spirit. We balance out your elements, fire, earth, air, and water, because we all have it in our body, right? We're made up of the elements. We balance out your magnetic energy, which is what attracts you to people and repels you from people. So that, like, you know, see that person across the room and you're like, I want to smile at them. I got to know that one. That's your magnetic energy. So we kind of bring that into balance as well, because operating in this world, all of those things go way out of whack. So once they're balanced out and I'm pulling through the energy around your body and moving things like a crazy person, I'll then take a crystal wand. It's a Lemurian seed crystal, quartz, and it's on a little stick. And I literally channel light into the structure of your DNA through the back of your head and light you up from the inside out. And then you get 9 to 12, depending on the person, messages from your guides that come through me. And they come through as like visuals or audios or smells or sounds or whatever in that session. And so then you kind of lie down and we talk about, all right, well, what came up? Why? How does it relate to who you are and what you're going through? You know, my favorite story, if she's hearing this, she'll love that I'm telling it, is that I had a client, one of the things that I saw in her session were a pile of acorns. And as she was preparing to leave her husband, she picked up her son's jacket and it was very heavy. And she was like, what's going on? And she reached in and the jacket was full of acorns and she just lost it. And so like they're convoluted. They don't really necessarily make sense in the moment, but as things unfold and open for you, you're like, so yeah. And then afterwards it does it, you know, the integration of it, it's as if you are suddenly living unable to stab yourself in the back to do the things that take you further from who and how you want to be. Because we're all living out of alignment. We're all living in a way that, you know, we do things like, oh, I didn't want to pick a fight today. Ah, I didn't want to react that way. I didn't want to get angry. I didn't want to this. But then you do, and you're like, I'm the worst, right? And then you go on that spiral. The life activation, at least for me and for many of my other clients who, and I've built even a whole program around it because it was so inspiring and life-changing. So many things would come up afterwards that people were like, oh my God, everything's changing. What do I do? And I'm like, okay, then come on back in. We'll book another session. Because it does, it's a life changer. But yeah, after a year or so, it's not the same anymore.
Yeah. So with your clients, when they start this life activation with you, like you said, is this a 1 year commitment that they're working with you over and over, or? Okay.
It's a 2 hour session. You can come and one and done if that feels good for you. I just know that, you know, I'm not somebody who wants to chase anybody for anything ever. Yeah. And so, yeah, there is no commitment to it. Now that said, the process that can follow is very intense. And many people do feel that they need a guide, a helper, somebody to kind of like be that spiritual bestie who's like not your best friend. That's going to be like, girl, leave him. Like maybe you need to work through that work. And also not your therapist who's going to be like, how do you feel about that? And so, you know, that's what I do in my one-on-one coaching. It's what I do in my group coaching. Is just sort of provide that, like, I have the knowledge, I have the awareness, and I have the capacity to be like, get it together. Cause what you're doing is the thing that you always do. So stop doing it.
Yeah. A little tough love.
Yeah. My one client said a loving smackdown.
A loving smackdown. I like that. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for being on today. If people want to connect with you or have this life activation session with you or crystal therapy session with you, how do they find you?
Yeah. So my website is janastern.com, JANASTERN.com. That's a great place to book everything from one-on-one readings, group readings, life activations, crystal healings, all that good stuff, all available there, including a little course there to enhance and own your intuition. There's a little course there that's like embedded if you want to go and find it under my shop page, that'll teach you how to really hone that. And then my Instagram, everything on all socials is Jana Stern Healer on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Now it's X.
Yeah.
YouTube, that's right. Like all of the things. And then my podcast is I'm Really Into That Stuff. And you can go to imreallyintothatstuff.com. There's some fun conversations there that I'm really, really excited about having every single week, just as I was today. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the time and for this conversation. It's been really fun.
Oh, no, it has been really fun. I feel like I learned a lot and it's very exciting. And everybody, I will post the way to access her and find her on all the socials in the description for the show. So thank you so much, Jana. I really enjoyed having you here.
Thank you.